All right, we're looking at Romans chapter 4. We're preaching on receiving our inheritance. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not, come on, as though they were. All right, now, we are teaching on receiving your inheritance because you have an inheritance as a child of God. As a child of God, you are taken out of one family and placed into another family, the family of Almighty God. Now, this is part of that which the Apostle Paul preached on, and part of what you need to know so that you can receive what belongs to you. Now, a couple of things I want to do here as we go through this. Praise God, if I can find my notes. Just a moment, please. Oh, here we are. That's not it. Just a minute. I was in the back there. But you don't want to hear that, do you? You want to hear the message. Just one moment. One moment, please. Yes. Okay, here it is. All right, now, this era of the world is a piece that we dealt with first. And what we found out is that we're joint heirs with Christ. Now, I want to show you this in the scripture. I want to walk you through something just so you can get a foundation here. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, please. If you don't know where these scriptures are, look up here on this board. We're putting them up here on this board so that everybody can follow along with us. The reason why I'm doing this is because you need to have it yourself so that you can say, God said this, and I believe it. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, what? Heir of all things. Underline, heir of all things. By whom also he made the worlds. Now, that heir of all things, in the Charles B. Williams translation, it says, Jesus was appointed lawful owner of everything. Lawful owner of everything. Now, he said lawful because somebody might be on some property that you have. And they are there and they are disputing who the lawful owner is. But when you go down to the courthouse, you find out that you are the lawful owner of that property. Now, if you are the lawful owner of it, somebody got to get off your land because you have something to say about what happens to that property. Are you following what I'm saying? So the courts of heaven are going to back Jesus up because according to the records of the court of heaven, Jesus is the lawful owner of everything. My goodness, that's good. Got it? Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 8 then. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory to God. Are you there? All right, in Romans chapter 8, look what it says here in verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, this word sons here is a word that we've got to make sure that we understand, because it doesn't mean gender. Here it means mature offspring. Mature offspring. So it says in verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of who? God. And what else? Joint heirs with who? Christ. So we are joint heirs with him. Now get this. I'm taking my time because you're going to learn this. I might call you class. I might need to just call you class today. But we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, how much does he own? He's the lawful owner of everything. Now, we're finding out whatever he's got, we've got. Have you got that? So, now, in this is the big picture, and let's look how we are divided. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, if you will. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now, I want you to see this. He's got three categories of people here. One is Jews. Second is Gentiles. Thirdly is church of God. Notice, he's got three categories. The church of God is not in the category here with the Jews. Now, I want you to see this. Because he's talking about the natural line of Abraham. Got it? The natural line of Abraham. In Galatians, he calls them seeds with an S. But once he uses the word seed, singular, he's talking about Christ. But if he ever talks about Christ, he's talking about you. Because whatever he got, you got. And you are in Christ. Got it? Now, this is very important to you because there are three divisions here, because I want you to see this. This is the church are the seed, or is the seed of Abraham, the church. So we are the spiritual line, and the natural Jews are the natural line. Got it? But when the natural Jews receive Christ, they become messianic Jews. Oh, I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. All right? Now, this is not making anybody less than, but understand there are things as they come under the natural part, there are things that the natural things can't do compared with the spiritual things. Turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Now, I understand that. Don't get the big head, because you've been grafted in. The idea about it is the Jews are the ones that God used to bring the Torah, bring the Word of God all the way up to the Messiah. But over in the New Testament, Paul teaches that once that Christ came, the law departed. And the law exited stage right. That once Christ came, then Lord have mercy. Y'all stay with me here. I'm trying to bring it down to a level where you can appreciate it. That Christ was a fulfillment of that law. See, that the law played a part. This is a stage. I'm playing a part. But once Christ came, the part that the law played was over. So he exited stage left. And now you're no longer under the law, but under grace. Now, are you following me? Okay, all right. Okay, look what it says in it. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now I want you to see that, because there is something more than the law. And that's great. I mean, that's said the wrong way. That when you're talking about the law, the fulfillment of the law was Christ. The law was designed to lead us to Christ. It was designed to show us that we can't keep it. That we need a Savior. You got it? All right. Well, I got to get off of that, because that we'll stay on that. I mean, okay. All right. Now, so things are lawfully already mine. Now, I am a child of God. Now, this is big now. This is different. Because I am a child of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, please. Ooh-wee, glory to God. Acts chapter 17. Come on, pray God in heaven. Let me know when you get there. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his who? Offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought to not think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, stone, so forth and so on. So we're the offspring of who? God. So I'm God's child. And Jesus introduced something when he came in. He said, pray this way, Abba, Father. They didn't call him that in the Old Testament. They don't dare call him that today. You got to come over to call him that. You got to come out. You got to come over into the church. And that's when you call him Daddy. Because now you become his offspring. Now stay with me on this now, because see, the church is supposed to be in another place, but I think we haven't been in the other place because of what we have eaten. And what I'm now doing is I'm feeding you some food that's going to empower you to rise up and be everything that God called you to be. Because Jesus said, the things that I do shall you what? You do also, and what else? Greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to our Father. Oh yeah, you hear what I'm saying now? Because this is new, yet he wasn't called Father. He was something else. He was this or that or Elohim or whatever, but he wasn't Father. Now he's Father to me. The reason why he's Father, because whatever he is, I am inside. He's Daddy. And Daddy's going to take care of me in style. Come on now. He's not a child abuser. Well, I want to stay right there, right, just romp around in there a while, but that's all right. Now, let's go then to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Are y'all going to stay here with me?
Yeah.
You got plenty of time. You don't have nowhere to go. It's raining out there anyway. So you may as well sit here and relax. Enjoy yourself. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. This is good. If y'all just give me time to teach this, you'll never be the same after one sermon teaching. Now, okay, what did I tell you to turn? Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. All right. Look what it says in verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and that and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Where? In heavenly places. Where is Jesus? He's where? In heavenly places. What is he doing? He's sitting. Verse 21, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. And hath put how many things under his feet? All things under his feet. And gave him to be head of all things to the who? To the who? To the who? To the church, which is his who? So the church is Jesus's body. Now, where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. Where? In heavenly places. Now, what is Jesus? The body or the head? He's the head. He's not the body. He's not the body. The head thinks it out. The body does it out. Did y'all get that? So, now the head is in heaven, and he said, we are his body. But he's put everything under, come on now, it says, hath put all things under his feet. Under his feet. So all things are under our feet. That is legally done. Everything is under your feet. Every disease is under your feet. Come on, every name that's named, everything that Satan can bring into your life is under your feet. Now, are we the body? So where is the devil? Now, if he's under your feet, that means you have authority over him. Got it? So I'm in a place where anything the enemy pops up with, I can take care of it because it's under my feet. You got to hear what I'm saying now. Now, down in verse 6 of chapter 2, has raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places. All right, now, why don't we see things under the church's feet? And why aren't we experiencing more victories? Why is it that when the disciples went with Jesus to the other side, he was asleep and here's a storm coming up and they woke Jesus up and said, Master, we're about to die. Jesus woke up and rebuked the storm, said to the sea, peace be still, and there was a great calm. And then he turned to them, he said, now why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, they turned to each other and said, now what manner of man is this? Now remember what I said, the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now we're not, the head must match the body. You can't have an old head and a little child body. That doesn't match. The head's not coming back to join the body and be caught away in the air until the Satan is vitally under our feet. See, he's gonna sit there until his enemies be made, come on, his footstool. See, he's not gonna get up until you take care of the devil and everything that he's doing to humanity in this earth. That's when he's going to get up. And if you weren't capable of doing it, you wouldn't have been chosen. Say amen to that. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1. Look what it says here. It says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Let me stop right there. Everything concerning God is first in the spiritual. It is a spiritual fact. Then it is brought into the physical world out of the spirit by using your faith. So everything God has for you is already in the spirit world. You now have to use your faith, bring it out of the spirit into your life. But if you're going to use your faith, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Because for you to get to where you're going, you're going to encounter a battle. But you win because it's a good fight. And you're going to win because you're not going to lose your confidence. Now, look at verse 4. According as he has chosen us, where? In him, when? Before the what? Foundation of the world. When were you chosen? Before the foundation of the world. Now, chosen doesn't mean that you were just randomly God. It means that he picked you out. Look at Abraham. Abraham was picked out. He could have picked a lot of people, but he didn't. He picked Abraham. Look at David. He could have picked a lot of people, but David was picked out because David had something that God, who sees the future, that David was going to deliver Israel in the future. Look at Gideon. Gideon said, you didn't choose. I know you don't choose me because I don't have much education. My family is the poorest one in the tribe. God said, wait a minute. If I called you a mighty man of valor, you are a mighty man of valor. You see, God doesn't know anything about failure. Failure only comes from the enemy, and he can only do it to you if you lose your faith in the fact that God has made you successful. He has made you a winner, not next week, right now. You were chosen. You didn't just bop in here because you didn't have nothing else to do. There, you feel like, boy, I'm in this place. I feel like this is the right place for me to be. Why? You were chosen to be here. Come on now, you were chosen to be right here. And looking over that television, you were chosen to be right there, right now, looking at me right now, because I got something that you need to hear that will bring you into a place where you can be delivered and you can be blessed in Jesus' name. Are you following what I'm saying? You were chosen. And the enemy's been trying to talk you out of your value. Talk you out of your royalty. You have become a member of the family of the God Most High. El Elyon, the Most High God. You are a member of his family. You are royalty right now, not next week. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So now this is what God is doing. This is what he wants you to know. That you've been chosen. Now, what he's got to do is now he's got to take you, because you've come into the church, now he's got to grow you up. Why? Because you got to walk in his image. You've got to walk in his likeness. I mean, when you talk, people are not going to know the difference between you and the Father. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, I only say what my Father said. That's the same thing about you. There's all this business about my feet are killing me. The Father ain't said that. That's corrupt communication. I told him Wednesday night, I said, let me tell you something. Get the word, I cannot afford it, out of your mouth. Every time you say that, that reinforces that spirit inside of you that you cannot receive the blessings of God. I said, when you look at something and you know it's too big for your wallet and pocketbook right now, just point at it and say, I can afford that. And walk on off. Come on now. You got to get used to talking like God. See, the enemy props all that stuff around you to try to conduct your mouth. He came with a storm, and the storm was supposed to change his speech. It's supposed to say, it wasn't supposed to say anymore, we're going to the other side. It was supposed to say, we're going to die. And that's what they said. They said, we're going to die. And that is not what God said about you. You can't look at that television and see what they're saying about bailouts and about the jobs being lost and all this kind of stuff and say, boy, I sure hope I don't lose. You can't say that. You got to say, it'll not come nigh me. It might, 1,000 may lose jobs on the right hand and 10,000 on my left hand, but I will have several opportunities for great jobs, even in the midst of a famine. You got to call things that be not as though they were. And say it out loud. Say it to your cousin. A cousin say, now why are you saying that? You're saying it, say, I'm saying it because I'm in a different family than you are. I'm in a royal family. I'm protected by the blood. I'm in covenant with Almighty God. In the days of famine, I shall have plenty. In the time when things get bad, I'm going to have more than enough. See, you got to say that and got to put your shoulder back and straighten your coat up and walk like you somebody. all this talk, this poor mouth, oh, I sure hope, I have hope. No, my friend, not only are you going to be working, but you are going to rescue other people who have lost their job. I don't know how God's going to do it. He might have you to just pay off their mortgages. He might have you to open up a business and hire 2,000 people. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do it if you've been chosen by him. Now, what am I doing? I'm giving you a word. I said, I'm giving you a word. And one word from God can change your life forever. And you need to stop listening to the negative tapes that you had in your past. You maybe have lost 3 jobs before. You may have been incarcerated before. You may have failed in school before. But don't play them tapes. Get them tapes out of your vocabulary. Get them out of your library. Put them tapes in there that says you are more than a conqueror. He always causes you to triumph. Put them tapes. Let them tapes play. And watch what God will do in and through your life. Because you've been chosen. Your name is already in the paper. Now, let me see, can I continue this? I didn't mean to preach this hard. I'm just letting you know the devil is alive. You remember that? One of the things the enemy tries to do is he tries to make you lose confidence. Tried to make you think it's not going to work. And what happens is he has things that come in against you from his system. And in this case, it was weather. But what it was supposed to do is it was supposed to get them to feel inferior to the system of the world. But I'm telling you, you are superior to it. That every dominion, every name, everything is all under your feet. And it's under there not tomorrow, it's under there right now. And what you've got to do, the world is waiting for the manifestation of that being under your feet. They're waiting for it. Because they don't have any answers. All right, now a couple of things I want to say. Man. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I want to say a couple of things, but let's go back. Let's go back over. And this thing is running up inside of me now. See, because this thing, you a royalty, boy. This thing, oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. All right, but let's go back real quick to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, and look at that. Look at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. All right, let's deal with this. See what we're saying here. All right, what he's saying here is the heir. As long as he is a child, differs nothing from the father. As long as he's a child, differs nothing from a servant. And the word servant there, you can put in your Bible, slave. In fact, over in the Amplified, it says, now what I mean is this, is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and underage, he does nothing, not differ from a slave, even though he's a master of the whole estate, of the estate. All right, let's look at what I want to tell you here. Now, this is talking about something that the words that's used in the Bible here is the word adoption. Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive adoption of sons. Now, back over in Romans chapter 8, can I turn you back over there real quick, please? Romans chapter 8, I'm kind of slowing down because I want to teach you now. I want to get this into you. When that, here's a word here. It says here, it says, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of who? Adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. All right, now, what happened in the Greek culture, and what Paul is referring to, is that when a child is born into a family, that this child is a baby. And this child has to mature. And what has happened is that before they mature, they're under a tutor. And the tutor is referred to as a pedagogue, P-A-D-A-G-O-G-U-E. And a pedagogue is like a tutor or someone that is in charge with the responsibility of teaching and training this child until the time the child is ready to accept full responsibility. Now, this word adoption in the Western culture has to do with a family adopting a child outside of the family and bringing him into the family. That's not adoption here in this Greek. Basically, it's a word that refers literally to son placing. The word is huio H-U-I-O-thesia, T-H-E-S-I-A in the Greek. Now what it means, it has to do with a child having to wear a certain cloak that would indicate to everyone that he is not yet responsible for his own actions or decisions. And we call that a minor. Got it? But as long as a child is a minor, he then, the Bible says in Galatians 4, differs nothing from a slave, though he really owns the whole estate. So it's like God won't put certain things in minors' hands because of their level of maturity. Do you hear what I'm saying? So now what happens? This pedagogue or tutor tutors this child and teaching this child and training this child until now the time was that this child is now being presented before the father, and they go through a ceremony that in this ceremony the coat for the minor is taken off and another coat is put on that would indicate that the child has now been initiated into full family status by being vested the rights and privileges of an adult. So that's where he had. Usually it was around age 14 or 15. But this child was now considered an adult. Now you can give the child full responsibility. But notice in here, even though the child was master of the whole estate was not put in the child's hands. And the reason why is because the child is still childish. Now, who is the principal teacher in the church? The Holy Spirit. Let's go over there and look at it. Go over to John chapter 14, please. Now, when he says sons, he's sons of God. He's not talking about your gender. He's talking about your maturity. So don't get thrown out, women, when he mentions sons, okay? You're just as much a son of God as any man. Okay. So the word simply means mature offspring. Now, God sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another what? Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That word comforter, anybody have the Amplified, what it says about the Amplified? What it says in that word comforter? Come on, help me. It says what? Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, and all of that. Okay, look at verse 17. And even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Come on over here to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the who? Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall do what? Teach you, come on, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Okay? So the Comforter is the chief teacher in your life. Now, that Comforter, Holy Ghost, is on me right now. And he comes on me so that I could stand in this office as a pastor and an apostle. And look what it says over in Ephesians again, in Ephesians chapter 4. Come on. You got to move quick. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. And let me know when you get there. Praise God. All right. Verse 8, this is Jesus now ascending on high from the grave that he rose up in and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What gifts? Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some what? Apostles. Keep going. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So notice, he gave gifts. Those gifts mean that as I stand in this office, anointing comes on me, called a mantle, and that mantle enables me to see scripture, to break it down and to feed it to you. Why is he feeding it to you? Because he's got to perfect you. What does perfect mean? Help me, somebody. Bring to maturity. He's got to make it so that the body matches the head, so that the head can come back and get on the body. We meet God in the air and the whole thing's over. Then the earth is renovated by fire, and then we're going to come back here and live forever. Say amen to that. Now, as we look at this, then we now are in the family, but God has to get us to grow up. Say, grow up, somebody. So now what we said, that once you're born again, there is an inheritance for you, but will not be delivered unto you beyond your level of growth. Now let's go to Acts chapter 20 one more time, please. Are you with me? Can you give me just a little bit more time here? All right, look what it says in Acts chapter 20. Come on over there. Come on, hurry, hurry. Praise God. You got it? Are you there? Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what to you? Build you what? Up and give you what? An inheritance. Keep going. Among all them which are sanctified. So before I get the inheritance, I've got to be what? Built up. And the primary thing that God uses to build you up with is the word of God. So he uses his word to build you up. Now here's what it says over in the Gospels. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you do not live by natural food alone, but you need some spiritual food. And the spiritual food that you need comes primarily from the word of God. Say amen to that. So for you to live and be strong in your spirit, you need to be built up. And you got to be built up with the word of God. So let's say you're not getting any spiritual food. Now, the only other food that you're getting is natural. And what is the natural food doing? It's strengthening the flesh. So now my flesh is strong and my spirit is weak. No wonder I keep doing what I don't want to do, because I have no resistance on the inside to keep me from making that step that my flesh wants to make. Are you following what I'm saying? So every day you should have a little devotional. You should have a little book. It tells you two or three scriptures, and just give your spirit something that your spirit can say, thank you, Jesus. Your spirit, because your spirit is hungry for the word of God, just like your flesh is hungry for something to eat. So why do we go on fast? We don't go on fast to move God. We go on fast to move our flesh. Our flesh is blocking the way to our inheritance. Now, do you follow what I'm saying? So now we've got to grow up. Now, there are three stages in this growing up. So let me just show you this. Are y'all with me here? See, the quality of your intake determines the strength of your output. Say amen to that. It said Jesus had fasted 40 days, and then he came back in the power of the Spirit. And the devil tempted him and said, hey, if you bow down to me, all this will be yours. Jesus wouldn't have to deal with it. He said, get thee behind me, you rascal, you. I'm saying that when you're strong in your spirit, you can resist sin. You can resist the things of the devil. But what does he try to do? He tries to keep you out of the word. He tries to keep you from hearing a man of God that's going to speak strength into your spirit. He tries to keep you from church service on Wednesday night. But I'm telling you, this is a new day for you. God is coming in to your life like never before. You're about to move up to another level and dominate the spirit of the world, and you will be manifesting the sons of God. It's starting right now. Whatever kind of word you're getting is going to be a reflection of the ability that you're going to have to dominate in this earth. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, real quick. Here are three. First, the natural man. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. The natural man. Three types of man. First, the natural man. Come on, hurry up. Look at verse 1. And you, give me that amplified, have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now I want to read that same thing out of the Amplified, and here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you he made alive when you were dead and slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually, and you were following the course and fashions of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of demon spirits that still constantly work in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we, as well as you, once lived and conducted our lives in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. That's where we came from. We came from a natural man. A natural man is still under the dictates of demon spirits. And that's why you and I, as believers, are not supposed to marry anyone that is an unbeliever. Hear what I'm saying? He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, why is this? Because the unbeliever, as he said, that unbeliever is under the control of his father. His father, her father, is the devil. And so, if you marry a person who is under the control of the devil, and you bring them into a relationship or in your house, they might act good as long as you're courting, because the devil will let them act good so that he can gain access into your life. But once you bring them in, and then all of a sudden they get what they want, then they turn over one morning and say, ah, and all of a sudden, from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde, I'm telling you right now, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. You said, well, Pastor, suppose I'm already married to somebody. The Bible Bible has instructions for you of how to get that person converted over into the kingdom of God. I'm just saying right now that by nature we were children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith his great love that he loved us, he transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So you are no longer natural, you are spiritual. Say amen to that. Well, Pastor, what do I do if I got this friend that he's real close to me? You know, we're really getting close. And you know, he want me to bring him to church every day. Hey, wait a minute. If you feel that thing is getting away from you, let somebody else bring him to church. Tell him, God, I'm going to turn him over to you, because the devil don't send you nothing that you don't like. He knows what you like. Boy, he sure is fine, ain't he? Hey, boy, she sure, look at her hair. Look at them legs. He knows what you like, and you got to pop out of that, because you are no longer going to be led by your flesh. You're going to be led by the word of God. Now, the next kind of man, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Boy, I'm spitting all over the place. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me just give you a last part of this. Now, notice, you're getting strong now. You might have had something going on with somebody. Hey, they weren't right. And now you're feeling strength. And you're feeling strength because I'm giving you the word. And part of the anointing is to strengthen your spirit, to separate you from danger, to separate you from what is not holy, to separate you. I commend you to God unto a word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are separated, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. I'm telling you, God's got some good stuff for you, and you are about to get it. Because what has... Oh, have mercy. Look at verse 14 of chapter 2. Come on. But the natural man, watch this, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what to him? Foolishness to him. Neither can he what? Know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Notice, a natural person thinks part of the Word of God is foolishness, especially the part about tithing. They said, what? You're going to give all your money to that church, 10% of your money? Are you crazy? Yeah, see, you know why? Because they are not in touch with God. They can't even receive the instructions of God. And they are still in the world under demonic control. So don't let nobody in your house tell you what you're going to do with your tithe except God. If God didn't say it, don't believe it. Because the enemy is out to try to swipe your blessing, and part of that blessing comes for you getting connected up with the covenant by the tithe. Say amen to this. I'm preaching better than you saying amen right now. All right. Got quiet when I started talking about tithe. Okay. That's all right. I'm encouraged. The next place. Look at verse 1. Now, I'm saying this, that everybody doesn't want to receive this. See, if somebody doesn't want to receive this, let him go. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to those who are chosen. I'm talking to those who are chosen. You know, everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Folks can act saved. I remember when I act saved. Okay. All right. Come on. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Have you got it? Verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as the babes in Christ. Notice, a carnal person is a baby. So a natural person, when they're talking about a natural man, He's motivated by demons. He's never been recreated. He's never had the new birth. And it's not under the control of God. Now, God can come in and do some things to through you to back them demons off their life. But I'm telling you right now, that's where the natural man is. Now, the carnal man is different, because the carnal man's been born again, but he's still governed by his physical senses. And that's why it's hard for God to trust him with anything. Because if he's governed by his physical senses, that means he's not walking by faith. Because you can't walk by your senses and walk by faith. You hear what I'm saying? And I remember this guy told me a story. He said this man, he was a homeless guy. God got him, brought him to church, got him born again. And then he gave him a job in his business. He had a business of selling equipment or something like that. And gave him a business. And after about 6 months, the guy did pretty good. He said, well, I'm going to go on vacation. It looked like the guy's good. I'm going to kind of leave him in charge of everything. He left the guy in charge, stayed away for 2 weeks, came back, came to his business, and nothing was there. Guy had stolen everything. Now, what happened? He meant well, but he wasn't mature. He was still being led by his senses. So the enemy could use him. He was born again. Oh, you've seen born again folks smoking cigarettes, so forth and so on. Now, I'm just saying they're born again, but they're still led by their senses. Now, but the problem is God can't trust them with anything. Don't you know I had to come to a level of maturity before God would trust me with a mall this size? I had to come to a level of maturity before God would trust me with a bank? See, in the world, they say bank and trust. Well, you can't trust the world. They don't need to take that off of there. They need to put it on the church bank. All right. Am I preaching all right here? So what am I saying? A carnal man has never developed or grown, and some remain there all their lives. And I tell you why they remain there. Because they have no desire to grow. Here's what they want. They want entertainment. As long as I'm running around, snotting all over the place and shouting and so forth, they're all right. But the moment I settle down and we get quiet and I start teaching, it's too quiet for them. They got to go. Well, that ain't exciting. It's not exciting because you're learning something. See, my job is to empower you. I can't keep doing all your praying. I can't keep doing all your believing. You're going to have to believe something yourself. Jesus turned to that bunch and said, where is your faith? And he wouldn't have asked them that if they weren't supposed to have been walking in it. I'm telling you, some of y'all got faith enough right now to move some stuff. I'm talking about to get houses debt-free and so forth. The problem is you haven't released it. You're still looking at me. You still want another sermon. You don't need another sermon. You need some teaching, and then you need to act on what you just heard. Say amen to that. Folks, I have to do stuff that looks strange to the mind. I have to go around the house. I walk around the house or point at a house, put my wallet on the table, point at it, put my checkbook up there. In the name of Jesus, I command $20,000 to come into that account right now. I'm talking about the check account that I want. I'm talking about do stuff, man. I'm a king. I can say things in this world. And when I decree it, Jesus said it shall be done for me. And you got to walk in that. You got to stop being so pretty and so sadiddy until you can't get crazy for God. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Man, you got to say some stuff. You got to point at that disease. You got to come in that house and say, every demon in here, get out. Because I'm gonna have some peace in here tonight. You follow what I'm saying? And we got to come out. See, that, well, I'm just shy. No, you're not. That's fear. And it has got you bound. And what you need to do is get rid of it. Whatever the devil says you can't do, do it. Whatever he says, don't say, say it. Say amen to this. Half of y'all supposed to be prophesying and speaking things into people's lives and so forth. Get rid of this low self-esteem, low ceiling mentality, and rise on up and seat together with him in heavenly places and decree a thing. I said decree a thing. Make me want to run. All right. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, but hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet are you able now. You are ye able. For ye are yet what? Carnal. For where there is among you envy. Look at somebody else. Look at that dress she got on. She thinks she's something. You better shut your big. Envy. Somebody drive up in a Rolls Royce or a Bentley. You should say, hey, that brother's saved. Praise God. God did for you. Ain't supposed to be. Look at him now. He think he's something. No, you're supposed to be giving him something. Hey, man. Yeah, bro, yeah. Yeah. Go, Doc. No. Even preachers, jealous of other preachers. Jealous of me because of this mall. Jealous because of the bank. Get what God told you to do and do it. And you won't have to look at me. You get in your own lane and run your own race. Strife, divisions. All that, what is it? It says you walk as men. So what does the Amplified say on that? You walk as mere men. Mere men, you're not a mere person. You're not just human. You are superhuman. Oh yeah, what is a carnal person? Person been born again. He's a new creature, but has never developed or grown, and this person is still under the control of their physical senses. Their senses are still telling them where they stand with God. So they stay guilty all the time. They stay condemned all the time. They let them old tapes play all the time, and they follow them instead of following what God said. He said, you're a winner. He says he always causes you to triumph. Last place. Next is a spiritual man. What is a spiritual man? He is one who has gained ascendancy over his own body and over his physical senses. God governs this person through his word. He's the one who knows what belongs to him and takes it. He also knows who he or she is in Christ. He also knows the Holy Ghost. He also understands how God has given him his ability. He's no longer governed by his flesh, but he's only governed by the word. If the word didn't say it, so I'm here to tell you right now, God wants a quality to come into you that will determine a strong person being manifested through you. Whatever kind of word you're getting is a reflection of the ability that you're going to have. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You're no longer going to be controlled by the system. You're no longer going to be controlled by the circumstances. For now, the pedagogue has done his work in you. And now you're being presented faultless. You're being presented as a mature offspring. Now you're putting on that robe of righteousness. And now the Father trusts you. And he's about to turn everything over to you. Did you get something out of that today? Give the Lord a praise. This is your time. This is your time. Yeah. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, Take a seat for just a moment, please, if you will. If you're here, God sent you here. Now I'm going to call you, because if you don't know the Father, the only way you can know Him is through the Son. And I want to call you right now. I want to get you into the kingdom. You're at the place that I was some years ago, that I was acting like I was born again, but I didn't have it. But one night when I cried to God, He sent a lady by my place at work at IBM, took me to a meeting on the north side of Chicago. And at that meeting, I received Christ. You see, there's only one way to the Father.